You have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 14 through 16 in just a moment. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it may give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This passage of Scripture tells us that as Christians, we are light. We are light to those who are outside of Christ. We are the ones who shine Christianity in an evil world. Now, we are the one to shine righteousness, goodness, love, kindness, mercy, all of the things that Christ did when he said, "I am the light of the world." He shined for all to see. And he expects the same things out of us. I have written a lot of lessons on this passage of Scripture of being the light of the world. And you've heard many of them in the past. But I think we never need to forget what we are expected of as Christians when it comes to light. I don't know if you ever thought of it this way or not, but you very well could be the only Christianity that some people will ever see. It may be that you are the only one that will shine that light that can give guidance to someone else who is in darkness. So therefore, we need to be sure that we shine our Christian light. Because again, we may be the only Christian light that some people notices. Now tonight I want us to talk about shining our lights. And let me first begin by asking this question. How do our lights shine? Well, the answer, of course, is by manifesting good works. That's how we shine Christ's light. That's how we bring glory to God, by showing our good works. But now when you stop and think about it, there are a lot of people in the world today who do good works. And a lot of people have the idea that anything that they do that might be considered as good, that they are doing the very thing that Jesus speaks of in the Bible. However, that may or may not be true. For example, we have community servants who work volunteering their work within the community. And we consider what they do as good works. We have civic people who work and do for the community. And a lot of the things that they do are considered to be good works. The Boy Scout that leads the elderly lady across the street is doing a good work. The Red Cross volunteers who helps in so many ways during disasters upon this earth, they are doing good work. And get this, even the atheist and the infidel do good works. You see, I know this is hard for us to grasp, but for the most part, atheists are not evil people. They just simply do not believe in God. Now, generally speaking, they're, for the most part, hardworking, even moral people. In fact, at the Mars Hill Bible School, which is back in the home in the town that Pat and I come from, we actually know of atheists who have sent their children to Mars Hill Bible School for the purpose of teaching them morality, not to teach them religion. Because they knew the Bible school will have a better job of teaching morality to their children than the public schools do. And public schools, morality is almost non-existent anymore. So, you know, when you think about things like this, you wonder about the atheists. Well, sometimes, no, they don't believe in God, but sometimes they're actually moral people. But the fact is, the works of the atheists, the good works, the civic workers, the community workers, the Red Cross workers, the Boy Scout workers, they do good works. But they do not do it to bring glory to God. And that's what we are told here. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, even Satan, the ruler of darkness, presents his work as a great light. He presents himself as doing a good work. Paul tells us this, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. He says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." But make no mistake about it, Satan is not light. He is dark. He is evil. Paul makes this very clear, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. He said, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places." Satan is evil, and so are his servants. Let's continue reading from 2 Corinthians 11, verse 15. "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, who transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." So we find the devil and his followers presenting to you light, to deceive you into thinking that what they do is good, so that you will follow them instead of following God. But we need to always understand, when God presents truth, Satan always presents a false truth. Where you find true religion, you will also find false religion. Where you find the doctrine of Christ, you will also find the doctrine of humanity. When God does not authorize something, the authority of it comes from darkness, not from light. Now, let me say this. There is more to letting your light shine than having good works. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. I want to begin reading with verse 21. "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus did not deny that these people worked. He did not deny that these people had good works. I mean, is it an evil work to cast out devils? No. Can it be denied that some people benefited from the many wonderful works that these people actually did? No. They did good works, but yet Jesus called them workers of lawlessness. They were filled with iniquity. Now, why would he do that? Well, Scripture gives us the answer. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. Scripture is given to us by inspiration of God that every man might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Therefore, Scripture defines and establishes what good works are and how the Christian is to put it into their lives. These people had done many wonderful works, but they had done it without the authority of God or His Word. You know, earlier I said that we do good works for different reasons, like the Boy Scout, the civil worker, and the community worker. But listen to this. Doing right for the wrong motive is just as wrong as doing wrong for the right motive. Have you ever done the wrong thing thinking that you were doing the right thing? Yeah, we've all done that. One person really stands out in my mind when I think about this, and that is the Apostle Paul. The earlier part of his life was spent trying to destroy Christianity. And the reason that he was trying to destroy Christianity was because he was a good Jew. And he looked at Christianity as something that was coming on that was attacking Judaism, that was trying to take down Judaism, that was trying to destroy Judaism. And he did everything that he possibly could to stop it, thinking that he was doing the work of God. Now, listen to this. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Jesus is going to take a little different direction here. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You see, many people do good works to be seen of men because of pride. They're looking for honor. They're seeking something, someone to pat them on the back. They want recognition. That's not why we shine our light. So that people can say, oh, look at Farron, he's shining his light. If we do this for personal glory, we are not pleasing God. So we need to be sure that we shine our Christian light, but that we do it for the right reason. Point number two. The light we shine is only a reflection. You ever think about that? The light that we shine is only a reflection. Have you ever been in a room and the room is dark and you have your flashlight, and of course a flashlight is only going to do so much, but in that room there happens to be a mirror on the wall. And if you will shine that flashlight into that mirror, what happens? You have more light. Because that mirror is going to reflect that flashlight. Now, we are a reflection of God. We are a reflection of Jesus Christ. Only a child of God can shine a light to begin with. And that light shines because we have put God into our lives. And we are shining forth God, not ourselves. Ephesians 5, verse 5. Paul said, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. If we shine these things, what are we shining? Well, first of all, we're not shining, are we? We're actually promoting the evilness of the world. Now the world does this to us every day. It will put forth its darkness for all of us to see and to be a part of. One out of Christ is in darkness and he has nothing to shine. because he has no light. One in Christ walks in light. And that's why we are told to walk as children of light. John said in 1 John 1, verse 4 and 5, in him was life, talking about Christ. And the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. They knew the light was there. They saw the light. But they really didn't want to follow that light. Now jump down to verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. That light was for us to see, so that we could follow that light. And by the same token, we shine our lights so other people can follow us. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I am his reflection. You need to be my reflection as I imitate Christ. We imitate Christ. We are shining his reflection in our lives. Jesus was the light of men. You know, the apostles didn't originate this light. Now, the apostles, they had light to shine, didn't they? And they shined their light all over the world. In fact, we understand through Scripture that from the time of the early church that the light of the gospel of Christ had reached every person. Wow, that's unreal, isn't it? And they did it by shining their light. But it wasn't their light. It was Christ's light. They was the reflection. I think David explains it in a beautiful way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We follow that light. Point number 3. There is no darkness that light cannot penetrate. There is no darkness that light cannot penetrate. A dark room is lighted when you do what? When you turn the light on. Every one of us, when we go home tonight, well, we probably left lights on in the house so we can see to go into the house. But if we didn't, the first thing that we are going to do is flip the switch and turn on the light. Because we need to see where we are going, and the light gives us that opportunity. I remember so well when I was a child. I loved to go hunting at night with my granddaddy. And when you go hunting at night back home, you're going hunting for one of two things. You're either going fox hunting or you're going possum hunting. Now, my thing was possum hunting. I loved to go possum hunting with my granddaddy. And when we would go hunting at night, my granddaddy used a large kerosene lantern. This thing was tall, large kerosene lantern. And it gave a light that would reach through the woods about 20, 25 feet, maybe as far as from me to Allen. And when you got beyond that point, you were in the dark. Now, I want you to know that I stayed just as close to him as I possibly could because he had the light. And because even though we had the dogs with us, and his dogs were tremendously trained, and they knew exactly how to hunt, even though we had the dogs with us, in the woods in North Alabama, there are also wildcats and coyotes. You ever heard a coyote scream? Sounds like a woman screaming, doesn't it? Yeah. Boy, that'll chill you from bone to bone when you hear it go off. So I stayed as close to that light because I also knew that the wildcats and the coyotes would not come anywhere near the light. So we need to stay near the light. And the light of the gospel will dispel that darkness when it is shining. So we need to be sure that we are near the light. To the Christian, God means light. And we work and we preach with zeal this pure light because it dispels the darkness of sin. You see, there is no power of darkness that can veil light. And there is no power of evil that can veil the glory of God. So we walk in fellowship with God. We will not be covered with darkness. We will be covered with light. Which is why we are told to walk in the light. Point number four. Light is powerful. Light is very powerful. More so than what you may think. You know, light rays so minute is now being used to penetrate through thick metals. It can completely cut through and disintegrate anything in its path. Almost sounds like Star Trek, doesn't it? You know, when they would fire their phasers, or it was always light coming out of that ship, and it would just destroy anything in its path. Well, that's not as far-fetched as you think, because today, the United States Navy have weapons on some of their ships that can aim a light at the enemy ship, cut through the hull, and destroy that ship. It's pretty powerful, isn't it, that light can do that? The same light that you and I are seeing with tonight, just in a more powerful form. Spiritual light is very powerful. Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. It's for everyone. It can dispel darkness for everyone. Now the word power that is used here in Romans 1 comes from the word dynamo. Now we're familiar with dynamo. We get the word dynamite. From the word dynamo. It means with great force, thrust that can cause great movement and great agitation. And that's what dynamite does, doesn't it? This power of God has that power to move us and to penetrate us, to agitate us, to make us want to be a part of God. You know, the Hebrew writer tells us that the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of thought, of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4, verse 12. In the story in the Bible where Paul is standing before Felix, and Felix trembled concerning righteousness and temperance and judgment, Felix did not tremble because he feared the people. He had power over the people. He did not tremble because he was afraid of the Apostle Paul, for in his hands held Paul's life, and he knew that. But he trembled because he feared God when he heard the spoken word of God. He feared that because it was dispelling the darkness that was within him. It was bringing him to light so that he could see himself as he really was. I want to close with one more thought. Light is only effective when it is used. You go home tonight and your house is dark. If you don't turn on the light, there's a good chance, even though you're supposed to know where everything is, there's a good chance you're going to bump into something before you get to where you want to go. There is a joke that goes around in North Alabama. Of course, North Alabama is where Helen Keller was born and raised, and just a few miles from where Pat and I actually lived. And there is a joke that goes around that when she was a little girl, of course, we know some of these, if you've studied the past of Helen Keller, she was a little wild when she was young, even though she couldn't see, speak, or hear. And the joke is, when the parents wanted to punish Helen, they moved the furniture around. I mean, think about that. She no longer knows where everything is, so she's going to bounce around looking for it, but she can't see it because she's in the darkness. If we stay in the dark, folks, we're going to bounce around until we bump into something that can hurt us. We need to see to it that we turn on that light so that we can see where we are. Hidden truth cannot teach God's word. That's why we are told to go into all the world, shine that light, teach that word, help those people who are in darkness. When someone is afraid or unwilling to teach God's word, it is just like he took that light, as with the little children's song, and we put it under the bushel. And we hid it, so no one can see it and come to the light. Therefore, if we don't shine the light of truth ourselves, we are automatically in darkness ourselves. Life without the truth of God is swallowed up in darkness. Each one of us must decide where we want to be in life. Do we want to be in light, or do we want to be in darkness? So I ask you tonight, where are you? Are you in light, or are you in darkness? Tonight, if you are not a Christian, my friend, you are in darkness. You can't dispel darkness because you have no light. You're in darkness yourself. But you can come to the light. Jesus has already said, I am the light. You can have faith in the light of God. You can change your life through repentance and come to the light. You can confess who the light is, the Son of God. You can be baptized to have your sins washed away, and then you will be in the light. But it takes light. And Christian friend, remember, God's light is ineffective unless you use it. Are you using God's light? Or has something caused you to walk away from the light? The light of the Lord is calling you to come back to Him. He still shines. And you can still reflect His light in your life if you will come back to Him and live for Him once again. So I encourage all of us, come to the light. Stay in the light. Shine that light. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand to sing the song.